Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Ezra. The Old Testament book of Ezra, and Ezra in chapter number 5. We've been going through this book, Ezra, and learning quite a bit about it, and drawing a conclusion for ourselves of trying to prepare for the coming revival, that God wants to bring revival. In fact, the natural state of a church is revival, and that any church that's not in revival is an abnormal church, at least from God's perspective. And the book of Ezra gives us some clues, some spiritual gleanings, that here is a group of people that God is using, and some of the principles that we've been learning are preparing for this coming revival. If you remember the setting, that God had sent Ezra and Zerubbabel and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, back to Jerusalem with a remnant to go back and to rebuild Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple so they could worship God. Remember, for 70 years before that, the temple had been destroyed. People were in Babylonian captivity, and God is allowing them to return. Well, with this, we saw a principle of the remnant, that God doesn't use the masses. He uses a remnant, a small group of people who get thoroughly right with God. And a group of people that are thoroughly right with God can actually change the world and turn it upside down. So as this remnant comes, they fight some obstacles. They see the enemy tries to prevent them from accomplishing their goal. And what happens is that they end up, after 4 years, laying the foundation of the building. But that's where the obstacles really begin to pick up. And what happened is that for the next 15 years, nothing has been done. For the next 15 years, the foundation's sitting there, getting grown over with grass. Neglected. And so how are we going to solve this problem? For 15 years, nobody's doing anything for the Lord. For 15 years, the house of God is neglected. For 15 years, people aren't growing spiritually. You know what these people need? They need revival. How will God provide revival? Is it through a lightning storm? Is it through a tornado? How is God going to provide revival? Ezra chapter number 5. Ezra chapter 5, and notice with me in verse number 1. Ezra chapter 5 and verse 1. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and in Jerusalem, in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them. With this, we could see that they needed a new beginning. What we see here is that God says the prophets arrived and began preaching the Bible. And it is through the preaching of God's word that the people were stirred and responded to God and changed. This becomes a very big deal, that we understand, how is it that God revives his people? How is it that God gets his work accomplished? How is it that God is going to work with us? Preaching. Preaching. The foolishness of preaching, that God's word will do its work. We know that God's word has not lost its power. The gospel has not lost its power. It's still able to affect lives and to change lives. It is a powerful tool that God has given to us, the word of God. We know that God's word has not lost its power. Then what's happened? People stop proclaiming it. They stop proclaiming it. Why is If the gospel's never lost its power, why is it that people aren't getting saved? People aren't proclaiming it. Why is it that churches are more ignoring what God's given them to do? Because God's word is not being proclaimed. God's word still has great power. We should be zealously thrusting forward for the Lord. How? How do we keep going? God uses his word to get his work accomplished. If you don't mind, we want to hit some principles here dealing with the idea of proclaiming God's word. First of all, the preachers arrived preaching the word of God. The preachers arrived preaching the word of God. Never underestimate the power of preaching when it's the right type of preaching filled with God's Holy Ghost. Let's look at a couple of passages that God says about preaching. Notice with me, if you don't mind, let's look at 1 Corinthians. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians in chapter number 1, God, through the Apostle Paul, is giving us an explanation of the power of preaching. Do you know that there's no spiritual problem that cannot be solved with preaching? Amen. Preaching is what changes lives. Preaching is what's so necessary. That's why it's so important for people to be assembled together in the house of the Lord, because of the preaching. Preaching's what changes lives. Because it's God's word, if it's faithfully proclaimed with God's power, God's spirit. Notice with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now, that's a true statement. To the rest of the world who's sleeping on a Sunday, trying to sleep off the hangover, and you say, what am I going to do to change my life? I'm going to church. They're like, how's that going to work? How is waking up early on a Sunday morning and dragging yourself to some guy who, to church, to some guy who just says some religious words, how does that change? It doesn't make sense to them. But when we understand there's a power in God's word, then notice the rest of the verse. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know what we need? We need the power of God in our life. How do we get it? Preaching. All of us need preaching in our lives. Preaching changes lives. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of this world and bring of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? When it's all said and done, your internet guru doesn't change your life. When it's all said and done, all the education in the world does not fix your problems. Preaching does. If you allow preaching to do its work, it could change your life completely. 21, it says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. For the Jews required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The foolishness of preaching. Again, a lot of people who not saved or not right with God, it doesn't make sense why people would come to church. But for those of us who understand there's a power in God's word and put yourself under the preaching, Holy Spirit-filled preaching of God's word. We know that there's a lot of churches that don't preach God's word. But for those that preach God's word with God's power, this changes lives. It changes life. The foolishness of preaching, because God's word has power to change lives. Notice with me 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy Paul is about ready to die. He's giving his last words. Now, last words are important. He's taking his son of the faith and he's trying to encourage him and give him some last minute instructions so that way Timothy will continue. Now, as Paul is getting ready to die, has one last chance to tell Timothy what he needs to do to be successful. He's going to give him the instructions. What do you need to do to make an impact? What do you need to do to reach the people around you? What do you need to do to change lives around you? Notice the instructions Paul gives Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice with me verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned away unto fables. He says, Timothy, what you need to concentrate is preaching. You know, there's a lot of things that a pastor needs to do, Timothy, but you concentrate on preaching. Because preaching changes lives. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Notice he has that word doctrine. He says, teach them things. Teach them about his word. But you exhort them. You rebuke them. You reprove them. You teach them. You work with them. With longsuffering, meaning don't quit. What does longsuffering mean? You suffer long with them. It means you preach even when they're going, you preach when they're all with you. You preach when they don't seem to be with you. You keep preaching. Preach, because it will work. God's word will not return void. You could trust it. Let it work. Let it work. Let it work. Preach, preach. Don't come up with a different idea. Don't come up with a different plan. Preach. By the way, he didn't say by the foolishness of counseling. By the way, I do enjoy biblical counseling, but most of my counseling is done from here. Amen. Just preaching the word. It changes lives. This is what works. So we come back to Ezra. And Ezra, they worked for 4 years, praise the Lord. Then 15 years, they've done nothing. Dr. Lee Robertson, who was a spiritual father to Pastor Sexton, was a trainer of thousands of preachers. He pastored the same church for 40 years and made a great impact. While he was pastoring still, Pastor Sexton, who was his assistant to the pastor at that time, came up to him and said, what's your biggest aggravation inside of the ministry? That's a good question. What's your biggest aggravation, your biggest headache, your biggest frustration in the ministry? He says, easy. Those who used to do something, who now just sit in the pews and do nothing. Those who used to do something, but now sit in the pews and do nothing. He says it's so hard to get them to do something after they've sat for a while. That's what happened in Ezra's day. 4 years, they did something. They got the foundation laid. And then because of opposition and this and that, they have done nothing for 15 years. You know how hard it is to get them motivated after that? How hard it is to get them stirred up to do something? It's going to be impossible for man. So how does God fix the problem? How does he fix the problem? He sends two preachers. Two preachers with a word of message to them. What is it that they say? Well, let's look at the two preachers' messages. Look at with me the book of Haggai. So this is going to be in the minor prophets section. So if you find Matthew and just turn back a little bit, you'll find Haggai. So the last book of the New Testament is Malachi. The book after that is Zechariah, which we're going to look at. And the book before that is Haggai. So if you find Matthew and just turn the other direction, you'll hit these books fairly easy. Haggai. So God sends two preachers, Haggai and Zechariah. What is it that these preachers are going to say? Notice with me, if you don't mind, Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, and notice with me if you don't mind, in verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, of the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your chilled houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And he goes on and just gives them the instruction, start building it. In fact, verse 8, Go up into the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it and be glorified, saith the Lord. So we have people that have been sitting for 15 years. What does God do? He sends a preacher that says, Listen, you've been saying it's not time to build God's house. God is saying, Now it's the time. Start working. Do it now. Just preaching God's word. It was pretty direct. You go do it now. Well, let's see what Zechariah's message is. Zechariah chapter 1. So Haggai is just a couple chapters, basically just turn the page. Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1, and notice with me verse 1. I hope that you're looking in the Bible. If we're preaching about preaching and word of God, you should probably have the Bible open and looking at it right now, or you've pretty much disobeyed the whole entire message, right? Bibles? Good. Find one. There's one in the pew if you have to. Good. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 1. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berech, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. So notice, we're going to have preaching. Haggai was direct. You go build God's house now. Zechariah is going to spend more time pointing people to God. Why should I build the house? Because you see God and you turn unto him, he turns unto you. You need to respond because you see God high, holy, and lifted up. You need to turn because of your vision of him. You see, what is the preaching doing? It's not only giving instruction, but it's trying to give you a clear vision of who God is. And because you have a clear vision of who God is, you respond to that God. Notice with me, if you don't mind, Zechariah chapter 4. So it was both of these messages that worked. God sent both of these preaching, one to be direct, you go build now. The other one said, look at God and turn unto him and respond to him. Keep your eyes on him. It's almost like my type of preaching, right? Uh-huh. Yep. This is what you need to do. Keep your eyes on him. Amen. It's the biblical type of preaching. Zechariah chapter 4. Notice with me, if you don't mind, this very special verse in verse number 6. Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Notice he says, How are you going to get it done? Not by might, not by power. So it's not by might. People will not return to God and do God's will if I take their arm and push it behind their back and say, Better do it now, Buster. It's not going to be by power. Listen here, I'm your boss, you better do it. That doesn't work either. But you know how people do respond? By God's Spirit. Letting God do his own work. How? Through the foolishness of preaching. You know, that helps as a preacher. It's not my job to convince you. My job is to be obedient to God and let God's Spirit do his work. Because God can get it done better than I ever could. You see, I can't reach into your heart. But you know who can? The Holy Spirit can reach inside of your heart and grab a hold of it and says, work! And you're doing it not because I'm doing it, because God's sitting here saying, you know what, God clearly got my attention and says, I better do it now. By the way, this is going to lead into our message this morning. God knows how to do his work by his Spirit. And he's chosen by the foolishness of preaching, not by the foolishness of begging. Please, will you do something? This is what God says. Keep your eye on him. And as you see him, respond to him. And what happened is that the people begin to build and prepare. Turn back with me to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter number 5. So we start off with the preachers arrived preaching the word of God, and God chose to use the foolishness of preaching to get the people to respond. By the way, as the people are responding, what's starting to happen? Revival. What is revival? It's God's people responding to God's commands properly. And God puts a spirit to bless them because of it. So they preach. Notice, if you don't mind, in Ezra chapter 5 and verse 1. Then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and in Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then arose Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jehozadak and began to build the house of God which is in Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them. By the way, what was the helping them? They kept preaching. Amen. They kept preaching and kept motivating the people to go through the foolishness of preaching. By the way, that's what happens in Zechariah, is that Zechariah wasn't just that first message. It's several messages that are being taught as the people are continuing to go on. And all those messages are giving a vision of who God is, Amen. Keeping them looking at God, and they're responding to God as they go. Verse 3, at the same time. Notice that phrase, at the same time. It didn't take long. At the same time as they're starting to respond and to the preaching, at the same time opposition comes. At the same time came to them Tetnai, governor of this side of the river, and Shethor-Boznai and their companions, and thus said thus unto them, who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? Notice this, what authority do you have? So they said in verse 4, then said we unto them after this manner, what are the names of the men that make this building? But the eye of their God was upon the elder of the Jews, that they would not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius. Then they returned the answer by letter concerning this letter. So what happens, the people say, what authority do you have to build this? Now, that's an interesting question. What authority do you have? Now, they could have just said, well, we have the authority of this, we have the authority of this. But you know what their motivation was? God. God told me to do this. That's the highest motivation. I saw God, and God gave me his commands, and I did what God told me to do. That changes everything, because God's above all the rest of the stuff. And if God told us to do it, he's going to protect us. He's going to give us grace. He's going to open the doors. He's going to do those things. We're doing it because of God, not because of a man, not because the pastor told us to. We're doing it because God told us to do. This is what God gave us to do. And so when the people challenged him on, they said, all right, how about this? Go search your records. So in Ezra chapter 6, they go search the records. And you know what they found? Is that, let's just look, Ezra chapter 6 and verse 1. Then Darius the king made a decree, and a search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found at Ekmatha, the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll. And therein was a record thus written. In the first year of Cyrus king, the same Cyrus king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, and the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, and the height thereof 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof And it goes on and explains all of this. Now, this is important because the Persian Empire had a law called the Medes, the law of the Medes and the Persians. Now, what this law states is that they believe that their emperors were gods, and their gods can't make a mistake. So if Cyrus gives an order to go rebuild the temple, he can't make a mistake. So anyone who says that the Jews can't build the temple is also calling their God a liar. So they went back and said, nope, Cyrus said that you guys can build it, so carry on. In fact, everyone else stop giving them a hard time. They're doing what they're supposed to. By the way, the Jews had no command over that. God had the Persians look it up themselves and find the law.
Amen.
See, all they were doing is responding to their God. God told them to do this. Well, I don't think you should do this, but God told us to do this. Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to go find out. And what happened is because they were doing it with the right motive, God cleared it up and said, and told the enemies to shut up and sit down, behave, get out of the way, do this. It's amazing what will happen when we're doing it with the right motive. Who gave us this authority? God did. Who told us to go out and preach the gospel to every creature? God did. And we're doing it because this is what God gave us to do. The foolishness of preaching works. Now, we do expect the opposition, but the opposition shouldn't stop us. We're doing what God gave us to do. We can trust God to do his work. We know that for the gospel in John chapter 20 and verse 21, Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. With the same authority that God sent Jesus to this earth to die for our sins, Jesus sends us with that same authority to go tell the gospel to every creature. We have God's authority. You see, it all begins with God. It all ends with God. God is the goal. We have to see God high, holy, and lifted up. Allow him to do a work and respond to him. And God begins to work, which now brings us to this last thing. The people return to their motive. Turn back to Ezra chapter 5. Ezra chapter 5. Remember, we had left off with them saying, who told you you could do this? What authority do you have to do this? Well, Ezra chapter 5 and verse 11, they give their motive. Ezra chapter 5 and verse 11. And thus they returned us answer, saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build the house that was builded after many years, which a great king of Israel builded up. Notice this. We are the servants of the God of heaven. That's what God told us to do. People were not finishing God's work because Cyrus said so. They're not finishing it because of something else. They had a higher authority. God told us to do this. God told us to do this. So as they returned to God, God gave them clearly instructions. You see, this becomes quite important. That through the foolishness of preaching, God stirs up the people. Through the foolishness of preaching, people look up and see God high, holy, and lifted up. Through the foolishness of preaching, that people respond to that God. And God gives them that instructions, and they carry it out. Not because the pastor said so. Not because this person said so. Not because this is what they want to do. But they're doing it because they see God, and this is what God's clearly given them to do. And they move forward. How did this happen? Foolishness of preaching. Why is it important to be faithful in God's house? Foolishness of preaching. Why is it important for us to have our Bibles in our hands? Because it's God's word that does its work. You need to see what God has to say for himself. Why is it important for an invitation? Because we're responding to what God has given us to do. This is what God gave me to do, and I'm responding to him that liveth forever, the God up in heaven. This becomes quite important. How do we have revival? By us looking at God, high, holy, and lifted up, and responding to his word as he gives it to us through the foolishness of preaching. Isn't it amazing that out of all the things that God could have done to stir people up and to move his work forward, he has chosen preaching. There is nothing that cannot be solved within your spiritual personal life that cannot be solved by preaching. A good Bible message will give you what you need, and you respond to that through the foolishness of preaching. Let's pray. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.